and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, we see there in the beginning, in verse 21, it says, Then Jesus went thence and departed. And he left somewhere. He left the Pharisees. Our Lord had been in Jerusalem. He'd been in the temple, and they were watching him, and they were watching his disciples to try to find fault with them. And they did. They accused them of being defiled because they ate with unwashing hands. Now, this was disciples who the Lord had made holy by his grace, by creating them anew in heart. And they are accusing them of being defiled because they touched something with unwashing hands and put it in their body. They couldn't hear the law of God declare them guilty. They couldn't hear God's word saying they were totally, thoroughly guilty. As all sinners are in as we come into this world, they couldn't hear that. And so they found fault with others and flattered themselves. They thought within themselves they were righteous, and they were always looking to find fault with others. That's the essence of Phariseeism. That's the essence of legalism, of will worship, of men looking to the works of their hands. But Christ declared here, it's the sin nature that defiles. It's the sin nature that is sin, and that's where sin comes from. Look back there in verse 17. He says, Do not yet ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. That's all that's in the sin nature. And that's all the sin nature produces from the first breath to the last. That's all the sin. And that's everything their religion was. And everything they were doing towards Christ and his disciples, that's what it was right there. Stealing his glory, bearing false witness against him, blasphemy against him, adultery and fornication against Christ. All of it. And it was all in the heart. The Spirit of God has to regenerate us. He has to create a new man in Christ's righteousness and Christ's holiness for us to be without sin before him. Bring us to faith in Christ, to trust Christ for all our righteousness. And he has to keep us looking to Christ all our days. All our days. We have to be taught we're sinners. But apart from the Spirit of God, man's religion, everything about ourselves, apart from Christ, and if he doesn't work this in our hearts, everything we do is sin. Our minds are carnal. And a fleshly man, unregenerate man, his mind is set on carnal things, on outward things. And that's what they were set on. Touch not, taste not, handle not, how well they were doing, measuring up to the law, they thought, and how bad others weren't measuring up to it. This was their religion. It's what it consisted of. So when Christ spoke to them, and Christ always confounded the fault finders, and he always defended his sheep. And when he spoke to them and told them that they were the sinners, they were guilty sinners, they were self-righteous sinners, and when he told them that, it offended them because they didn't have a new nature. All they had was a sin nature, and it offended them. It offended them greatly. But instead of repentance, instead of a broken heart, instead of falling down and asking Christ for mercy, they became offended. They became offended. And then the Lord left them. He departed from them. He left them. But look where he went. He went to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. He went outside of Israel. He went outside of Jerusalem. He left the land of Israel. Not only did he leave the Pharisees, he left the whole land of Israel and went to Canaan. He went to a poor Gentile outsider. She's somebody they considered, the Jews considered, a Gentile dog. And that's where he went. Our Lord here is showing a contrast. And we're going to see a contrast in how the Pharisees received him and how this woman came to him. How when he spoke to them, they were offended. We're going to see he spoke much more bluntly to her, face to face, directly. And we're going to see how she responded. First, we see God's grace here. Our Lord Jesus went into these coasts of Tyre and Sidon because there was a certain woman there. There was an elect child of God there. He went there on purpose. He knew where she was. He went there for her. He went there on purpose. Mark says, a certain woman was there whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, and she had heard of him. And she came and fell at his feet. She was a Greek woman, a Syrophoenician by nature, or by nation. Christ knows exactly where his sheep are. And he's going to come to his sheep. He's going to bring the gospel to them. He's going to cross their path with his word. And he's going to speak into their heart and quicken and call them. She had heard. Somehow the gospel had come to her. And she heard it. God had given her a heart to know him, that he's the only one who could help her. God doesn't save based on our place. Here's a woman who looks so different from these Pharisees. This is what our Lord's teaching here. This woman, look, she wasn't of Israel. She's a Canaan, of Canaan. It's not based on our place. It's not based on our race. It's not based on our faith. It's not based on what men call grace, their grace, pretended grace. It's all of God's true grace. He chooses whom he will. She was a Canaanite. She's of the cursed race. She's not Abraham's descendants. This woman is of the cursed race. This woman lives in that land where our Lord said, slay them all. That's where she is. But just like all who God saves, he saves by his free grace, who he chose by grace, not based on anything in us, chose freely by grace. She's one of his spiritual Israel, one of his true Israel, who Christ laid down his life for, who he justified from all iniquity, and he's coming to her. He comes into these coasts. You notice here, he came to her first. That's 50 miles from where he was in Israel to where he is now, 50 miles. He went walking that whole way to get to her. And he came to her first, and then she came to him. That's how grace works with God. She had heard of him. She had heard of him, and by his sovereign hand, he had given her a need for Christ. Whatever the secondary causes were, it was God who gave her this need. Her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. Now, affliction doesn't put faith in the heart. But wherever God puts faith in the heart, he's going to send affliction and adversity and reveal our sins and give us a dire need for Christ. And he never stops. Never stops. Blessed is the man to whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy court. That's what he'd done here. He chose this woman and caused her to approach to him. He said in John 6, no man can come to me except it my Father which has sent me draw him. That's what's happening there. He drew her to himself. He gave her a great need. Made her hear of Christ. He came to where she was. And now he's drawing her to Christ. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. Beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see grace here first. All this is of God's grace. Everything he's doing here. He chose her by grace, came to her by grace. He had made her hear the gospel by grace. He had quickened her heart, given her faith by grace. And now he's fixing to show her mercy. Now, secondly, I want you to notice the spirit of true faith. Verse 22, the second part says, when she came to him, she cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. Now, she didn't come to the Lord with her hands washed or worry about washing up her hands and her feet before she came. She didn't come there boasting about anything she had done. She came there and cast herself down at his feet and cried for mercy. She had a broken heart. She had a dire need. A dire need. I have a dire need. Do your sins plague you? Do your sins cause you to groan under this body of death every day? Do you see your sin? You see your failure? You see your fumbling and falling, and you have a need for Christ to come to him. This is a daily, hourly need he gives his people. She fell at his feet crying to him. That's what true faith does. It's a heart, it's a spirit, it's a brokenness that he gives where you're at his feet, falling at his feet, crying unto him. She had no ability in herself, and she knew that. What could she do? She knew she had no ability. She could not do anything. She could not do a thing about this devil that was in her daughter. So where does she come to? She comes to Christ, hoping that he'll have mercy on her. He's the only one that can help. She believed him. She believed him to be sovereign God. She believed him to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of David. She came there and she cried, O Lord, thou Son of David. You see a great contrast here? The Pharisees rejected him. Pharisees accused him of blasphemy. The Pharisees accused him of sin. The Pharisees accused his disciples of sin. Why? They did not have a need. They did not see themselves as being possessed of the devil. They didn't see themselves as having a sin nature, totally vile before the thrice holy God. That's what they didn't see. But this Gentile came acknowledging the sovereignty of King Jesus. She came there saying, Lord, thou son of David. She believed the word. She believed the gospel. She believed he was the Messiah. That's to say, she believed his messiahship, thou son of David. She believed him. She believed who he was. They didn't. They had the law, the prophets. They had all the advantages he gave to Israel. This woman didn't have the law. She lived in an idolatrous land amongst idolaters. She didn't come up under the law. You know what the Lord said? He said, Israel, which had the law, they didn't obtain to the righteousness of the law. Why? They did not seek it by faith. They sought it by the works of the law, by the works of their hand. But the Gentiles, just like this woman, who didn't have the law, they obtained the righteousness of the law. How? He came and gave them faith, and they believed on Christ our righteousness. She believed that he could save his people from the power of the devil. She came there saying, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. That's the purpose for which the Son of God came. 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. The devil tempted Eve, as Ben preached to you Sunday, and Adam sinned with his eyes wide open and plunged us into sin. And ever since then, the devil has been accusing us to God and accusing us in our conscience and using the law to do it. And you know how Christ delivered us? He crushed the serpent's head. You know how? He took away all the sin of his people. He justified his people before God so that the devil cannot make one charge stick with God. Isn't that good news? Not one charge is going to stick. They're justified. They're righteous. You know what Christ is going to do for this woman? He's going to have mercy on her. Why? Because he's satisfying the law for her. It's just to do it. It's the only just thing for him to do. By his spirit, regeneration, he comes in and binds the strong man and delivers his people from the power of the devil. That's the only way we can believe on Christ. That's the only way we have faith to look to Christ and trust Christ, is because Christ takes dominion. And you're going to sin, you're going to fall, you're going to try to turn away because you've got a sin nature in you. But he's doing that to show us, brethren, he is the power of God unto salvation. It's not only his righteousness that makes us just before God, it's his power in us that keeps us looking to him. That's the only way. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You know why he healed sick people when he walked this earth? You know why he cast out devils while he walked this earth? To show a visible, undeniable manifestation that he has the power to forgive sin through his precious blood and deliver us. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He bore the sins that caused them. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, what good news. That's why she came to him. She believed this. She believed he was the Savior and the righteousness and the holiness and the wisdom and the power and that he could save. That's why she came there. We won't come to God unless we believe him. We won't come to the Lord unless we have this need, unless we believe he's the only one that can save us. Faith that believes Christ plus something else is not faith at all. That's works. True faith looks to him only. He's the only one that can save me. And then we see our Lord try the faith that he gives. Now, this is for our good. This is for the good of all his disciples involved here. But he's going to try the faith he gives. He's going to do it real quickly. It's going to begin. There's a trial when he starts calling you. There's a trial once he's called you. And as soon as he brings you to confess him and brings you to his feet, the trial's going to start. Why does he do this? Look here. How does he do it? Verse 23. But he answered her not a word. She comes there crying out. You know she's just weeping and vexed. And you notice there she didn't say, have mercy on my daughter. She said, have mercy on me. Look here, though. She comes there, and he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, the Lord is not only trying her faith, and he's not only teaching her. He's trying the faith of his disciples, and he's teaching them as well. He always, when he sends a need and he sends a trial and affliction and adversity, he's not just teaching one of his people. He's teaching all his people that are connected with him. And that's what he's doing here. At Jerusalem, after he declared to those Pharisees, and he told those Pharisees that they were self-righteous sinners, the disciples came to him. His disciples came to him. And they said, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? It's as if they didn't want to offend the Pharisees. Those Pharisees were kinsmen after the flesh. Those Pharisees were Jews. They were natural descendants of Abraham. They were outwardly moral, religious folks who claimed to believe God. And they came to him and said, do you know you offended them? But the disciples come to him here and they want to send this woman away. They want to send this Gentile woman away. Send her away. She keeps crying after us. She's just a Gentile dog. And he answered and he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now I can just picture his disciples thinking, well, that confirms our request. That's why we're saying, just send her away. You're not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But our Lord is teaching here, she is one to whom I'm sent. My ones that I'm sent to save are not just in the nation of Israel. I have an elect people scattered throughout the nations of the world that I'm going to call. I'm sent by the Father to them. I'm sent to lay down my life for them. I'm sent to call them. And they're not just elect among the Jews. They're elect among the Gentiles. His true spiritual Israel. This is a spiritual, one of his spiritual Israel that's been sanctified by the Spirit and is coming to him because she believes him. And that's what he's teaching. He's not only trying her faith, he's teaching his disciples. He's teaching them that they were mistaken to judge after the outward appearance. They were mistaken when they were in Israel looking at those Pharisees, and they're mistaken here looking at this woman. Next, we're going to see God-given faith does not take offense. Like the Pharisees did, God-given faith takes our place as sinners, owning Christ to be all our salvation. Now, I'm saying when he's working in the heart, when he's really working, the Pharisees were offended. She's going to take her place as a sinner. Watch this. Verse 24, but he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. True faith is the connection between Christ and his child. It's the conduit between Christ the faithful and the faith he's given into the heart of his child. It's the conduit between us and him whereby he's going to speak his word and we're going to be able to discern it and know him and believe him and bow to his word. His word resonated in her heart. When he spoke, it resonated in her heart. She said, I'm not sent. He said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then came she and fell down at his feet saying, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm a lost sheep. Lord, I'm a straying sheep. I'm an ignorant sheep. Lord, I believe you're my shepherd. Lord, help me. His silence didn't turn her away. His word concerning his sovereignty saying, I'm sent only to the elect, to the lost sheep, my spiritual Israel. That didn't turn her away. She didn't get offended at either one of those. His word strengthened her faith. His silence strengthened her faith. And his word of sovereignty saying, I am. She didn't hear that as, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house. She heard that as, oh, he's sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what faith hears. Faith doesn't look at the doctrine of election and say, well, what if I'm not one of God's elect? That's what unbelief always does. You ever notice that? When you talk to somebody, it's an evident token they don't have faith because they always argue against one of the most blessed doctrines there is, that God chose a people. But true faith hears it as, oh, God chose a people. There's hope for me. The Lord chose a people. When he didn't answer her, when the Lord, you call to the Lord, he doesn't answer you. I tell you what it makes you do. It makes you cry more earnestly. It makes you plead for mercy more. And the Lord does this out of love. You remember when they came and told him Lazarus had died? And he loved Martha and Mary, it said. And Lazarus, you know what he did? He waited 2 days before he went there. He wanted to make sure that they knew Lazarus was good and dead and in that tomb. And he was making them long for him to be there more. He did the same thing when the storm came and the apostles were in the ship, and they looked up, and here he comes walking on the water. He made like he was just going to pass them right on by. What'd they do? Lord, here we are. Don't pass us by. That's what he's doing. He did it to those on the road to Emmaus. They got to the house, and he just made like he just going to keep on going. Oh, come in and dine with us. Don't leave. Did not our heart burn within us? When he doesn't answer you, he's drawing you to him. He's making you plead with him more, making you cry to him more earnestly, making you desire his mercy more. That's how he strengthens faith. She came and fell down and said, Lord, help me. Don't you know that second coming to him and falling down? Don't you know she didn't say anything else, just Lord, help me. What a good Lord, help me. Nor was she offended at the sentence he gave her. She wasn't offended at his silence. She wasn't offended at his sovereignty. And she wasn't offended at the sentence he gave of her. Verse 26, he answered and said, now you imagine this. All your life you've been called a Gentile dog by the Jews. And naturally speaking, you've been taught by your Canaanite heathen brethren to hate the Jews. And here she stands before the Lord, and the Lord says, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She said, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Yet, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Notice she said truth, and she said yet. Truth is faith's amen to God's judgment of us. Truth, Lord, I'm the sinner. I'm a dog. I got no merit in me. I don't deserve anything from you. Truth, Lord. Yet is faith's plea for God's mercy. Yet, Lord, I need to receive everything from your hand. Will you be gracious to me? Will you be merciful to me? Truth, Lord, I'm the sinner. I don't deserve anything. Yet, would you give this dog a crumb? Would you be my master and just give this dog a crumb from your table? You see the contrast? The Pharisees were offended. Under the law, a dog was unclean. A dog couldn't be brought into the temple. There they stood in the temple, going through all their religious work, and Christ essentially called them dogs. When he said, you don't keep the law. Your heart's defiled. You're unregenerate sinners. Out of your heart is coming this enmity and sin, and you're calling it righteousness and saying you're serving God. It's rejection of Christ and rejection of his brethren. And when he said that to them, they were offended. How dare you call us self-righteous? They were offended. What about this woman? She fell at his feet and said, truth, Lord, I'm a dog. I'm unworthy. I don't have any merit. I am just a great sinner. That's all. Yet, would you have mercy on this dog? Yet, you're the master, and even dogs eat the crumbs of the master's table. You know what David and Mephibosheth called themselves? Before their enemies who were chasing after them, Saul was coming after David. You remember what he said? Why are you coming after a dead dog like me? Mephibosheth, David calls him, and Mephibosheth thinks David's about to slay him because he had slain all his Saul's house. And he got to David and he said, "Oh, you're going to have mercy on a dead dog like me?" That's the spirit of faith. That's the spirit of faith. When he pronounces you a sinner, you say, "Yes, Lord. That's all I am. That's all I am." Isn't that all we are? There's good news for dogs, if you're really a dog. There's good news for dogs. I titled this, "Mercy for Dogs." Brother Henry preached a message called, "All Dogs Go to Heaven." There's mercy for dogs. She wasn't offended by his silence. She wasn't offended by his sovereignty. She wasn't offended by the sentence of condemnation of being just a worthless sinner that he pronounced upon her. By grace, faith falls at his feet, owns ourselves to be nothing but sinners, and pleads for his grace and his mercy, for Christ to be all our salvation. And you know what mercy receives? You know what faith received? Verse 28, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith." Great is thy faith. "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, speak into our hearts and take away our heart of offense and subdue that sin nature and quicken us, Lord, and renew us into the inward man, the new man. Make us own your gospel, own our place as sinners in need of mercy. Lord, we ask you that you would please drop some crumbs for these dogs. Be our great merciful master. Lord, we'll take crumbs. We'll take just crumbs from the children's bread. As long as it comes from your hand, as long as it's of your mercy and your grace. Lord, thank you that you don't give us crumbs. You pour out grace upon grace upon grace. Perfect righteousness, perfect holiness, and perfect acceptance, completion in you. Lord, keep us looking only to our Redeemer. And help us, Lord. Help us to have this spirit of faith, clinging to you, coming to you continually, falling at your feet constantly, pleading your mercy continually. Lord, make us faithful dogs. Forgive us, Lord, our sin. Forgive us for being offended and thinking ourselves something when we're not. Keep us, Lord. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.